It's been a little while since I've come to you from the basement of my house. Some things have gotten a little further along, so I kind of chose this quiet, fairly clean corner to start our lesson this morning. I will come to you in a couple of different places in here in a couple minutes. But this is a perfect place for us to start talking about our lesson today. You know, when you walk into a house, we can become quickly enamored with the paint color that's on the wall. We often find ourselves complimenting the homeowner. Oh, I love this color, or the flooring that's become especially popular right now. Oh, this is great flooring. Maybe you walk in and it smells great. You know, they've got a great candle that's, oh, what's the smell of that candle? I love that candle. Or what's plugged into the wall? You know, what those smell things are. And just, everybody likes a nice smelling house. Nobody, though, walks into the house and slaps the wall and says, man, these are some sturdy walls. Or jumps up and down on the floor a few times and says, what a firm foundation this house is built on. I think Dwight Schrute did that a couple times in The Office. But normal people, we don't do that. We just compliment and are enamored with the appearance. And we know there are some pretty seedy people out there who will buy houses and spruce them up and make them look nice on the outside, but not so much on the inside. Of course, way more important than the colors on the walls are these little studs that are in the background, or the floor joists that are underneath, or the ceiling that's over top. I got the opportunity to put these new lights in and had to run new wiring. It's going to be great. They're eventually going to be up here. And once I get the drywall up there, you won't be able to see any of the wires. And way more important than how pretty those lights are, hey, did you wire them right? Are they going to set the house on fire? You see, the foundation of things, that's what's important. It seems to me the church is a pretty good metaphor for that. The Bible actually uses the church as a foundation and building as a metaphor in 1 Corinthians 3. You know, Jesus comes and he's crucified, he's resurrected, he goes off and ascends. And the question becomes, now what? What are things going to be like now? And early on, the church struggles with a little bit of crisis of kind of identity. And in 1 Corinthians 3, we find that a lot of early Christians were following Paul. Some were following Apollos, and it became this cult of identity. And they had to be reminded of the foundation. That Paul goes on to basically say, hey, Apollos, Paul, we're just colors on the wall. We're just kind of nice floor coloring. Yeah, we're important. It matters. But what's really important is our foundation. And so Paul uses this analogy in 1 Corinthians 3, beginning at verse 6. He says, I planted the seed in your hearts. Apollos watered it. But it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God made the seed grow. The ones who plant, the ones who water, they work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we're both God's workers. You're God's field. You, he says, are God's building. Now the you there is plural. He's talking about the church at Corinth. He's saying you're God's building. And he goes on in verse 10, and he says, because of God's grace to me, I've laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one we already have, which is Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on Judgment Day, fire will reveal the kind of work that each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you? God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Now, Paul makes it very clear that Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church. And he's the foundation of our church at Elm Creek. You know, we've got these new shirts and this new logo. I love praising, loving, serving. It's a great message that kind of encapsulates everything we want to be about as a church. But that didn't just come out of the blue. Like, we didn't just sit around and say, hey, what can we think of that'd be cool and trendy and like real succinct? Instead, it kind of grew out of what we hold dear. It grew out of what we believe in. It grew out of, I guess simply put, our values. And our values, they're kind of like these studs that are in the wall. I mean, we don't talk often about them. We don't focus on them often. They're underneath everything that we do. They're behind the walls. And sometimes, just like right now, it's a good time to clean out my basement. Look at the foundation. Look at things around here. And get to work. But making sure that all those things are in order. And that's what we're doing as a church. We're making sure that all of our things are in order. And so, beginning today, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about our values. What upholds us? What do we think that is important? And there are really four kind of doctrinal values, and that's what we're going to start with today. And so we'll try to get through them fairly quickly, but listen to them, because they matter and they're important. The first of our values, the one that comes to mind probably for most of us first, is the value that we have in the Bible. We love the Bible at Allen Creek. Most churches, most Christians say that they value the Bible, that the Bible is the inspiration by which they live. And our church is no different. We're all pretty familiar with 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture is inspired by God and useful to teach us what is true and what makes us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. We believe that. We take that seriously. And so we take studying the Bible seriously. You know, I grew up in a church that loved the Bible. We hardly ever got together without studying the Bible together. That's where God really, I think, took hold of my heart. I remember as a kid, a teenager, and I would read the Bible on my own and just devour the stories that were there. I remember going to church camp in the summers and learning more about the Bible and how it applied to my life and just really how to learn to read it. And then as I got older and I went to Lipscomb University, that school valued the Bible so much that everybody had to take Bible classes every day. It sounds kind of weird, I guess, to say it aloud, but that's how important the Bible was to the school and is. Equally important to our church is the Bible. We love to study the Bible. And we don't always agree about what the Bible says. As a matter of fact, the church has kind of changed its views on a lot of things through the years. We haven't got the Bible all figured out. And so we work hard to try to learn what the Bible says to us. God's word never changes, but our world, it changes constantly. We change constantly. I'm a different person now than I was 15 or 20 years ago, and I've changed my mind about some things. And what we believe at Allen Creek is that studying the Bible in a corporate setting alongside brothers and sisters in Christ who are equally devoted to their faith and to a relationship with Jesus, that's one of the real core values that we want to be about. We study the Bible differently. We started a study this week in 1 and 2 Samuel. I've got those loaded on YouTube, so if you have the link, you can look it up and join us. We'd love for you to join us. We feel passionately about all 66 books. I've devoted my life to learning the Bible as best I can, and a lot of our people have. We want to know what the Bible teaches. And so that's one of the core values, and it informs us from the time that a child is born in our church all the way up until we pass away. Studying the Bible is a central part of what our church is about. We make mistakes. We have disagreements. We don't always figure everything out. And one of the reasons, or one of the important things about the fact that we don't always agree, is we need some kind of unifying statement. We have to have something that keeps us together. And that's the second part of our core values. When we get down to this building metaphor, so now I'm over on the other side of my basement. I'm a little bit further along here. So I'm starting those foundational things. You can see the drywall is in place here. I got to this corner here. So this is eventually going to be a door under the stairs.
But there's different values. There's more than just one. I mean, some churches pretend like they're just all about the Bible, but the fact of the matter is, you can't just be about the Bible. You need some guidance, some direction beyond even the Bible itself. You can't just pick the Bible up and think that I'm the first one that's ever read this. No, we are, and our church believes that we are a part of a long tradition of Christians. You know, that passage I read from 1 Corinthians, that goes back almost 2,000 years. And the church has been established for all those years, and generation after generation after generation of faithful Christians have left their mark on the faith. And there's a unifying statement. Our church has never, in its history, never been a lot about creeds. But it seems like it's a good time to revisit the idea of creeds. You know, even in the Bible itself, you can find examples of creeds. Yeah, even within Scripture, a lot of people think Philippians chapter 2 is got the contents of one of the earliest creeds in. It's just a summary of teaching, just a summary of doctrine. And so when we lay out what are our fundamental beliefs, what are our doctrinal beliefs, man, that can be a huge undertaking. Confusing, complicated. What do we include? What do we not include? And so what we've kind of moved toward the last 10 years maybe or so is we just, if you want to know, what are you guys about? What do you believe? Well, you know, we believe in the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed is over 1,000 years old. So it's kind of free of the ebbs and flows of cultures and living in the moment. We know that you hear people talk all the time about how different the world is and how much it's changed. Well, just think of all the ways that the world has changed. And Christians have still been surrounding this creedal statement as a summary of their beliefs. And at Allen Creek, we feel like that's a pretty safe bet to put our chips on. That's a pretty safe bet to believe for our belief structure. And so the Apostles' Creed reads, and if Brian can get this up on the screen, we can read it. And I'd invite you to read it with me. A document that's over 1,000 years old, we rally around it today. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. That just means universal church. The communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. That's what our church is about. That's what we exist. Every single member of the Allen Creek Church will say, I believe in that. Now you may be thinking, well, there's a lot of things that aren't said in there that the church feels strongly about. Well, maybe so. There's a lot of things that when it comes to beliefs, I mean, if somebody asks you, what do you believe? Well, that's a book and then some, right? Well, the church is no different. There's a lot of things that we believe. But when it comes down to what really matters, our non-negotiables, I'd say that statement does a pretty good job of laying them all out. That's what the Allen Creek Church is about. That's something that stands behind as a real foundational part of what our church is about. And so the church is one. It's united all throughout time, all through the world. But there is diversity within the church, which is a part of our third pillar. Well, I started at the other end of the basement. Now I've come all the way where I started. So this is going to be a little bedroom that we added to the end of the basement. We have a big basement. And so now this is actually ready for the finishing touches of drywall. It's a bedroom suit under there, but the drywalling is done. I did the drywalling, so it's not very well done, but it's done. I'm going to pay some folks to come over and finish it up for us because I'm not so good at the detail work. But that might be a good place to put this third virtue. You know, the first virtue is the scriptures. The foundation of the church is Christ. And one of the most important ways that we get to know Christ is through his word. Equally important is how we understand the Bible. And one of the guiding lights in there is our second kind of virtue, the idea that we fall in the tradition of the Apostles' Creed, which emphasizes the unity of the church, that God wants his church to be one. And so while our church is small, we don't believe that the kingdom revolves around us, that God's work in this world is on our shoulders. We get to be a small part of what's going on in that kingdom. As a matter of fact, that small part that we have is unique. It's the Allen Creek Church. We voluntarily become part of this church because we believe in its personality. And we believe in local governance of the church. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, Paul and Barnabas went around and they appointed elders in each church that they established, which basically they relinquished control of the local church to their own local leaders. And that's an important principle for us at Allen Creek. You may or may not know, it's kind of on the wall. We don't talk often about it, but we're not accountable to anybody but Christ. We're not part of a denomination where outside leaders will come in and tell us what we need to decide or how we need to do things. It creates some other challenges because we don't often have the outside resources that would be helpful. But we think that being able to operate in a way that those residents here in Columbus believe are important is what guides us. And so we try to make decisions based on what we believe God's calling us to do to best serve Northern Columbus. And that's what we do. And that's an important value of our church and our decision making. It all stems from right here, right now.
Well, the final principle of the church is probably pretty appropriate to share a couple thoughts here in what will eventually be my tool shop in the basement. Now, this one's probably going to stay pretty rough. Not going to worry about drywalling it in. It'll just be kind of some open space. But it's got all my tools centralized so I can come down here and get some work done in a nice big open area. Well, the idea that our church is locally owned and operated, basically, that third principle, third value, well, that makes this fourth one really important. You see, during the Reformation, Martin Luther had a really strong feeling about the way that the priesthood had abused its power in the Catholic Church. And so he established a doctrine that became known as the priesthood of all believers, which basically assumes that everybody is a minister in the kingdom. Everybody has a role. As a matter of fact, it's rooted really in the words of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you're not like that. You're a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into this wonderful light. He calls them a royal priesthood. That's what we believe every single member of our church is, that they're priests. What that means is that I don't have some special role as a minister. It's not like I'm the only one that can offer communion to other people, or that I'm the only one that can baptize anybody just because I'm the minister, or that I have some special place before God. We don't believe that. We believe that everybody at our church has been given an equal measure of the Spirit. That Spirit empowers them with the same power that raised Jesus from the dead to do the work of ministry. So next Sunday, we're going to be back in person at the church. We're going to talk a little bit about the second kind of part of our mission, inward focus, the spiritual growth and enrichment that we want to talk about, a fellowship. But then the week after that, we're going to get back to these values. And we've talked about our kind of doctrinal values. Next, we'll talk about kind of our ministry values. And it connects directly with this. What do we expect our people to do? What do we expect our people to be about? Because the priesthood of all believers assumes that there are no freeloaders in the kingdom, that there are no freeloaders in the church, that we all have a role to play. And we feel like that's such a vital part of who we are as Allen Creek, and that it's a value that kind of operates behind the behind the scenes. Maybe we don't talk often enough about it. And this really is an important springboard into our future. I hope you'll stay with us as this is a great way to learn a little bit about who we are as a church and learn about what we're trying to do as a church for our own established members and for any of you who may be trying to find a place to use for God to use you.
Let me leave you with this morning. This is my full disclosure video here. If I get out of the way, you can see just how big of a mess it is down here. I've done a pretty good job this morning of kind of moving the camera angle so you didn't realize just the scope of the mess that the Metzes have in their house right now. Man, I am so ready for this to be done. Mary Beth is so ready for this to be done. Our kids are so ready for this to be done. Poor Clark is sitting at this desk every day doing his homework overlooking the sea of mess. One of the things that keeps me going is I'm just so excited to try to get this thing done and have a big church get together over here and trying to figure out if the COVID concerns or my work in this project are going to end sooner. We'll find out. But, you know, to me, it seems like, and one of the reasons I wanted to do this morning down here is it seems like a pretty good metaphor for our church. Now, I don't know if our church looks like this. I mean, that might be extreme. But if you look really closely out here, if I can point a couple things out to you, and you can't see them real easily, but there's a lot of great pieces here. And I can picture in my mind what it's going to look like. Like, Clark sits right down here, so I had to just throw up some drywall real fast so the light wouldn't be in his face. But all those lights are going to be up in the ceiling like they are over on the other side. And so those things will be out of the way. I don't know if you can quite see, there's a couple sheets of drywall over on the side that's eventually going to be the walls. A lot of this furniture we're going to just get rid of. Make some space down here. You can just see through the crack right there is a fireplace that we got from Mary Beth's grandparents' house. And it's going to sit right over there with an electric fireplace in it someday. I mean, it takes some energy and effort to imagine what it'll be like. But I can see it start to take place, especially over on the other side where the walls are up. There may be no more fulfilling reality than to walk into a room that you framed up and wired and see the walls come together. Well, it seems to me our church is very similar. There's a lot of pieces here, and they're a little disconnected. They're a little disjointed, and we gotta have some vision. We gotta have the idea to see them of what's going to be down the road, of how it's going to be put back together. But we can get there. And this kind of the next 2 months or so, we focus on these discussions. A lot of them is about showing the behind the scenes, what the walls are going to look like. And then it'll be time to start hanging drywall and finishing it off. It'll be time to empower and mobilize our people. It's tough to do right now. We admit it. It's a hard time to do this, but we have faith that God is with us. He's faithful to us. We had a powerful meeting last Sunday. It was great to be together. It was an hors d'oeuvre of what's to come. And it's my prayer that God will prick your heart and help you figure out where you are in this big mess, where God is waiting to plug you in to our church to fulfill what God has in store for you. He wants you to be involved in ministry. He has things in store for you to do. And there's not a lot of other people that are going to be able to discern what that is. That task is for you. And so I'll join you in praying for our church. I'll join you in praying for all of us. As we discern, you know, I wish I had the Harry Potter wand where I could just wave it and it would all be done. And I wish I could do that for the church too, but we can. It's going to take hard work. It's going to take time. It's going to take energy, passion, commitment, and we'll get there. And these four principles that we talked about today, that they're going to guide us. They're going to guide us and be our guiding light. Thanks for joining us today. Today was a little different. Hopefully the message was communicated in a way that you understand and that helps make sense of what we're trying to do at our church. Hope you'll be a part of it. On a hill outside Jerusalem.
just led him there to die for them. As they nailed the hands that created men, he prayed that they would be forgiven. A lowly carpenter from Galilee loved the wealth that's found in poverty. Heaven's power clothed in humility. Let the cross become his destiny.
Shines his light through his death.
Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me.
Good morning, church. Would you bow with me? Righteous God, our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the wonderful lesson that we had from Adam today. We pray that we could take this lesson home and study it and keep it with us. Father, we thank you for Val and Randy, our elders. We thank you, Father, for the church, our church family. Father, thank you most of all for the gift of your precious Son. Thank you, Father, for everything that you've given us. Father, now I pray that you will be with us throughout the remainder of this day and throughout the remainder of this night. Be with us, Father, down through every walk of life. Your Son, Jesus, we pray, and amen.